Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I'm Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell. And here we are with an amazing guest. There is so much going on. Like, randomly, there are things happening where we don't have to, like, talk about, like, what just came out on Netflix. Like, something big was announced.
Something big.
Like, 2 days ago.
And what I said to you was, I was like, I feel as if there's a palpable excitement in the theater community once again that we haven't felt in months.
There is, because it was 100 years ago that we were actually, like, seeing shows and doing, you know, ramping up. The season was, like, in motion.
Oh, yeah.
And when our guest today was in the middle of the motion, we'll get to that. But the Tony Awards are happening.
Officially happening.
Now, I will say, there's some rude stipulations going on.
Okay, tell me everything, because I always rely on you to fill me in.
We might have to talk to our guests about this, but any show that opened beyond February 19th is ineligible, despite being part of the season, which, in my opinion, like, don't get me wrong, I'm very excited about this season. Aaron Tveit is going to win his Tony. Like, all will be well. But...
No, he really is, I think, though.
He is.
Because I think his biggest competition was Isaac Cole Powell.
Isaac Powell, yeah. And Chris McCarroll from Lightning Thief, but that closed. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, they might use the Tonys as, like, a, we're going to reopen and this show won Tonys. Like, it's still a commercial for Broadway.
Wait, what about Dan? Is it Daniel Watts and Tina? Is he the lead or the featured actor?
So the Tony committee ruled that he's featured. However, that role was nominated for the leading Olivier. So there could be some category fraud happening, because here's my tea.
Spill.
They feel non-competitive. Like, pretty much the Tonys feel mostly non-competitive, mm-hmm, because there's only 4 new musicals. When it comes to musicals, there's always an abundance of plays, but there's only 4 new musicals, one of which has an original score. So there's going to be 1 musical score. There could be some play scores nominated. I know that The Rose Tattoo had an original score, which is not uncommon. There's been some years where only, like, 2 nominees have happened. And obviously, if we would have had Girl from the North Country and West Side Story as a part of this, which would have helped fill out the acting categories for the musicals.
And Company.
Well, Company was later, and 6, even if it would have opened
because they didn't open yet,
11th or 14th or whatever, it still, there wouldn't have been enough time for people to go see it. We'll talk about it as these weeks go on, because I have a feeling, like, weird rules are going to pop up, but I'm so excited just to have a little taste of Broadway again, to have something to get excited about. And as you posted on our Instagram story, Connor, we are ready and available for virtual red carpets to host an actress roundtable. Very Hollywood Reporter.
I'm ready. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm shaking thinking about, like, Adrienne Warren and Elizabeth Stanley, like, perched with, like, a cup of coffee or, like, a mimosa. Wait, that would be chic as hell. Can we do it on, like, Tony Sunday? But, like, why would they hire us?
Well, you have to dream it to be it. Okay.
That's right. Yes, God.
So we've touched upon West Side Story a little bit.
But you know who wouldn't be in the roundtable, sadly, but who should be?
Our guest today. Because she would have been. She will be in 2021.
That's right. When we have a vaccine and we are shaking our booties up and down, you know, Midtown, going to Radio City Music Hall, she will be.
Why don't you bring her in?
I will. I feel crazy right now. Oh my God. Okay. Our guest today is, as her Insta bio states, an actress, soprano, and graduate of the Juilliard School. She made her Broadway debut at 9 years old as young Nala in the long-running Disney smash The Lion King, returning to the Great Bright Way this past winter as the leading lady Maria in the highly anticipated revival of West Side Story, for which she received an Outer Critics Circle honor. In between her two appearances on Broadway, our guest shared her talent in Juilliard's productions of Orpheus in the Underworld, Dido and Aeneas, and the Sarna Lapine directed Into the Woods as Rapunzel. She was part of Roadshow in New York City Center's Encore's Off Center series and has been decorated with numerous accolades for her gorgeous voice, including winning the first prize in the 2018 New York Lyric Opera Competition. Stunning! You may recognize her from John Mulaney in the Sack Lunch Bunch on Netflix or from her gorgeous covers on YouTube. Please welcome to drama, Shireen Pimentel.
Hey, hello, hello.
I'm winded. Oh my God. Welcome, Shireen. We are so happy to have you here. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, y'all. Just doing something different, talking a little bit.
I know, meeting some new people in these times, right?
Exactly.
I could tell you wanted to hop in during some of our Tony's chat.
Yeah, you know, it's a sore subject right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we did open and we did a substantial amount of performances, but obviously, as it's been said, that, like, not all the nominators got to see us. So, you know, there's pros and cons to, like, being a part of this season or being a part of next season. Right. As you said, we get to, like, dance on down to Rockefeller Center for in next season and, like, yes, get to do an in-person event, which is really exciting. But also it's really, it's good to be, like, recognized for what you did. So, yeah, but, like, the Outer Critics happened and I was really, really, just excited to be a part of, like, that list, and be a part of that group of people. And our time will come. I know
it will.
It was hard when I first read it.
Oh my God, I'm sure. Because the news came, like, first it was like, Tonys are happening. And then a couple hours later, it was like, but not, like, everything. Like, it's like...
Exactly. And at first was like, well, we're stipulating that probably not everything, but we don't know. And then there was an update and it was like, for sure, they're not invited.
Oh my
no,
God.
We're invited, but you know, no, like,
you guys had been playing previews longer than any relationship I've ever been in my entire life. So, I mean, I'm kidding, but not really, but wait, anyway.
It was December through February, right? It was a couple months.
Yeah, it was 79 previews. We got to like 100 performances, like, cause you know, you restart the clock, but like technically 100 performances, maybe like a week before we shut down, something like that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And wait, and this was going to be my dose of drama for later, but I feel like now's the moment to say it. I was in line to buy tickets for West Side Story because Scott Rudin did this thing because like COVID was a thing, but like it wasn't like a thing, like where everyone was like upset and dying and panicked yet. And they were doing discounted, like very cheap tickets for the end of March, I want to say.
Yeah.
I was in line outside the Broadway theater on my lunch break from 54 Below. And I got a phone call from Connor and he was like, I'm hearing rumors on Twitter. I'm hearing things. Broadway's probably just going to get shut down. Don't waste the money today. Like literally 2 hours later, it all shut down.
Yeah. I had friends who were like messaging me all morning who were like on that line. And I had a friend who got a ticket for like the Saturday of that week. For like, you know, $50. They were all $50.
Yeah,
it was a crazy time all those months ago.
Yeah, literally it was like 5-ish months ago, but it might as well have been like a year. Like, I remember like any shows that I was like binging on TV at the time, or like I was thinking last night, like I was watching TikToks and I watched I love like gymnastics and cheer type things. Did you watch Cheer on Netflix by any chance?
Not yet. We've talked about it a lot backstage, but like I haven't, I said before, like I have a threshold and I just have to hit them and then like I binge everything.
I love that. Yeah, no, I feel like Cheer came out while you guys were in previews. So it would have been like, there's no time for that. And I was thinking like, wow, all these Cheer kids better be on TikTok right now because like they became famous overnight because of the show. Like I'm sure you've heard of like Jerry and like the other cheer people, you know. Jerry was going to be like a red carpet correspondent at the Tonys, I'm sure, but like, you know.
Yes. Like Jerry's going to everything, like Oscars, Grammys, and Tonys. Like he's going to be there.
But literally that might have as well have been a couple years ago that I even watched cheer. Like I completely forgot about it. Like things have just changed so quickly. I guess all of that to say, we do ask all of our guests one question that we don't send you in advance, and that is, are you well?
You know, I am. I'm quite well. I feel like I like traded in one thing to get another. I traded in my New York City apartment and my job to now have like a dog. I do have a puppy. And Connor said people don't normally talk about their love lives, but I'm gonna, like, I've got a new man.
Wait, what? That's drama.
It's a great time. Like combine those two things and I am just elated, having a great time. I rhinestone every flat surface I can find. Like,
I love that you're rhinestoning. Her AirPods are rhinestoned, everyone. Just yeah, so you know. Like the case.
Yeah, but like, so yeah, I feel like I traded in one thing to get another. And at some point, obviously, when we go back, I'll have to figure out how to balance the two. I'm sure I can figure it out. But it's been exciting. It's also been sad, but like, for the most part, I'm in good health. Like, we have been lucky that coronavirus has not touched our home. And like, at the end of the day, that's all I can ask for.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted.
But yeah. I love your mentality through all of this.
I'm crying. Like, I'm sure that when I, you know, hop off and I'm not doing like talking to people or anything, I have my like down moments and I'm like, I miss theater and I miss working. I always say like, you know, it's working and it's a job, because if I say like just doing theater, I feel like people look at it as like, oh, well, you're just on Broadway. Mm-hmm. That's so easy. And like, no, it's not. It is a job just like every other job. I just really like it. But yeah, I miss doing it and I miss seeing our cast so much. So yeah, I'll have my down moments. People are always like, she is a ray of sunshine. I'm like, I try to be for everybody. But you know, they're up and downs like everybody.
Yeah, it's appreciated. Your energy is like giving me life right now, for lack of an overused phrase. But like, you know. I agree. And I think that kind of energy is what makes people want to be around you and want to work with you. You know what I mean? So like, I have my down moments too, but I'm always like, you know what, when I'm at work, like, sure, I'm going to be real and show everybody, you know, if I'm going through something, like express it at appropriate times. But like, why wouldn't I want to be put forth the kind of energy that makes people want to work with me? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
maybe this is like going into a different topic here, but, wait, you said you miss your cast. Is there like a 50-person group text where you guys are all like, can't believe we're not considered for the Tonys?
No. There's overwhelming. No way.
That'd be an annoying text.
There is no way. But we do have like smaller group chats. Because we did try a 50-person Zoom. We did. No, Zoom really can't pick who's talking. So we were having like three different conversations all at the same time. And so I love everyone dearly. And when we see each other, 50 people in person, it's great. But over the the Zooms and the phones, we can't do that. But we do have like, I think I'm in like three different group chats, something like that. Yeah, we try to like break it up, put different people in each
one. Especially after going through like, you said 79 perform like previews, and like every, like you guys were out there like doing like press and all these different things. You probably were like bound together like a band of army affiliates. Like, I don't want to say band of brothers because that's gendered, but like, I can only imagine a lot of Broadway debuts, also the hottest cast on Broadway, like everybody just coming together. Like, I can imagine that you're bound in that way. Like, it's like the trenches.
Yeah. So like, when the shutdown first happened, I saw a few cast members like maybe 3 days later, but we kind of like dispersed, and I like to say we like scattered to the wind and went wherever. And then we slowly but surely came back together, because as you said, like, we were together day in, day out, almost every waking hour. And so we did get a break which was also nice. Like, they're great people, but like, it's like when you see your family every day, you're like, I love you, but right now I do not like
you. I can relate.
Uh-huh.
so we got a little bit of time and a little space to ourselves. And now it's just like, I want to see you again so badly. So yeah, it's just, I did think to myself, like, you know, we're not eligible. Like, what if we had just opened later or something? Like, I definitely don't regret like the time that we did have, no matter like Tony eligibility or like shut down or anything like that. Because I think it's going to be even better when we get back.
And I love that. And I also think like there aren't going to be a lot of new shows that weren't already announced that'll be reopening. So it's just like the 2020 season is probably just cut in half now, and it'll just be, and you know, it could mean really good things otherwise. Like, interesting. What other revivals were planned? Just Company and then
Carolina Change. It'll actually be like revival time.
Wow. It will be. It really will be. That'll be exciting.
Yeah. I'm excited to get back. And as I said, like, after the initial shock of like the whole eligibility, it was one of those things of like, okay, well, they didn't say like, no, like they're just gone. Like, they kind of open, they're in a limbo. They just don't count for either season. Like, it wasn't one of those. It was just like, we'll open, they'll just be pushed back and, you know, just some more time.
Exactly.
I have to tell you, so I didn't get a chance to see West Side Story, but it is one of my all-time favorite musicals ever since I was like 13, 14. I think it's like maybe up there with like a perfect score. You don't skip any of the songs. You know what I mean? It is amazing. How was your experience playing Maria, who is like, I think, many girls' dream roles? A lot of white girls too, but hopefully we're moving beyond that.
And mine. And mine.
You know who I always wanted to play was either Action or Anita, and there was no in between.
Honor, you're forgetting you were rehearsal Anita, summer of 2009, our production of West Side Story.
The girl who played Anita randomly, like, she booked the role, and then she was like, I'm going on tour with my, like, choir for 3 weeks. And so she was gone, and they were like, well, we need someone to, like, just stand there while we make the choreography. And I was playing Riff, which was really wild. I was it was a stretch. It was a stretch. I really had to dig deep into my soul to perform this role. But anyway, they were like, well, we need somebody to stand in. So I stood in as Nita. Anyway, love West Side Story so much. What was it like for you playing Maria and being in this extremely exciting, extremely different revival? You know, when it was announced, everyone's like, well, it's going to be very different. It's going to be all the way through. There's not going to be no act break, all this stuff. What was it, a good experience for you so far?
Yeah. I feel like people think like actors like show up and get a concept and get a script and they're like, everything's great. I love this. I have no problems. It's going to be fantastic. Let's go. And that's not the case. Like, we're people too. So like, I was really excited about the concept, but as we went through it, there were times that I was also holding on to like the old history of West Side Story. Cause obviously, like, you watch the movie, you see versions, you love the show. And so you're like, we're going to do it differently. Like, how can I do it differently? Like, and I loved that at the end of the day, like when we mounted the show, I was like, yes, I love it. And also as an actor, like, loved learning to just like, let go. Of like preconceived notions, especially, but like, let go as a person. And like, I'm so type A. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know how I'm an artist, because like, I have so much like OCD. Things need to be exactly the way that it's bad. But like, it helped me kind of like let go of a little bit of it, at least when I'm working. And I like to say, even though it was a revival, it was like we were working on a new show, like, brand new thing. So like, I loved it, but that doesn't mean that I didn't run into my own challenges. Like, I think we had such a great cast and we were really working on something that was different, as everyone likes to, like, so many people are like, it's modern, what does that mean? And like, it's different. Like, the things you don't think you could do in West Side Story, we probably did. And I'm excited about that, but also like a person.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anytime somebody was like, oh, I don't like this change, I'm like, I'm sure I didn't 5 seconds ago, but like I opened my mind up and saw it for what we wanted to make of it, and like really appreciated it and enjoy doing it. So yeah, at the end of the day, I love it.
I really appreciate your perspective on it, because there are so many like Sondheim purists out there. But I was actually listening to another podcast where they were saying, I think Matt Doyle was saying this because he was talking about the company revival, and he was saying that Sondheim himself is not a purist. He wants everything to change. Like, mm-hmm. And look at all the iterations of his shows, like the Sweeney Todd a few years ago and even Company now. And we will see West Side Story every 10 years. That's just like the way that, like, there was that revival with Matt and Josefina and Karen Olivo. And
yeah.
That was the bilingual production. And now this is the modern, cool one. And it's like, this isn't the last time you're going to see West Side Story. Let's enjoy this new perspective on the show. And we'll always remember it for being different and unique. Just like we'll think about that Oklahoma last year or 2 years ago that was very unique and different. We're not going to see it like that again. You know, it's exciting.
Yeah, exactly. And like, the thing that I find interesting is like being a purist, trust me, like I love a good mm-hmm. score, especially a good Sondheim score. Like I, at some point really, really either want to be in or produce a version of Into the Woods. Like one of my favorite all time favorite shows. And I think it needs to come back.
It's time.
But but it's not like Sondheim doesn't show, like, it's not like he's not there. Like we just mount this without him. And then he just like, you know, buys his own ticket and shows up one day. No, like he's with us the whole way. And if there is something, and I think that that will be for any revival of any of his shows, if there's something he doesn't like, he's going to say it. The guy is amazing, but if he has a thought on his mind, he's going to let you know. And he is not shy on letting you know. So like, I think that we also have to think of the fact that like, it's written by a specific person and they have an intention. And if it still fits within their intention, like who are we mm-hmm. to say something?
Absolutely.
Like, who yeah. am I to tell him that he's wrong?
So are you like on the Steve basis with him? Like remember during that Sondheim at 90, everyone was like, happy birthday, Steve. Like who are calling?
I know. And I was like, absolutely not. I think I had to say something. I think it was actually for there was like his birthday thing, and I was like, I don't even think I said his name because I didn't know what to say. I was like, do I say Mr. Sondheim? Like I'm not saying Steve or Steven. Mm. Like no, I don't think I ever
well, because you've had two experiences now working with him, because you were part of Roadshow as well.
And every time I'm like, hi. I'm like, think of like when you're in high school and there's like the really hot, attractive person you want to meet, and you're just like, oh God, what do I do? And it's like, I'm not saying I find Sondheim attractive. I'm just like, I'm so obsessed with him.
Sure.
I don't know what to do.
Oh, yeah. Understandably. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wait, I have a question just about your portrayal of Maria, because I have read that she's not necessarily an ingenue in this production. How would you describe her? Like, would you eat lunch with her?
Or would you get drinks with her in Chelsea on Saturday nights?
I don't know if you would that, but okay. Like Maria's like that friend that you like tell about all the, like a guy, I've had this instance just a few too many times where like I start seeing a guy for a few days and I'm like, oh, we're together, it's great, all this stuff, and then like 3 days later she's like, so how is he? And you're like, well, like he's good, but like there are these things, but like I really like him. And she's the friend who's real with you, who's like, dump him, get rid of him, you do not need him, like you are better than that, you are stronger than that, like independent woman.
I love that.
Oh,
that's Maria.
So she's got like, she's more elements of Anita even, like what you would normally see. That's so cool. And I could see you doing that. Yeah, like I don't know if I could necessarily would want to see you being like demure and like
on your balcony. Although I heard there's no balcony, which is
no
iconic.
I like it. I did have someone at the stage door like look at me and they were like, "You need a balcony," and I was like, I just like laughed it off, and they were like, "No, I'm serious. There should be a balcony." And it was like the first week of previews, and I was like, okay.
We've talked about this with like with other guests on the podcast about emboldened fans and like the things that they feel like at the stage door, like, and like Connor and I are fans like first, I always like to think, but I would never say to someone like give them critiques or like feedback, like especially things that are out of their control. Like that is to me is ridiculous.
Yeah, I have definitely gotten feedback for like other departments in the theater, and I'm like, do you think I'm going to walk up to like the director or like Scott Rudin and be like, the people outside told me to tell you this and this, and no, like,
yeah,
I can't do anything. I don't know what you want right. me to do.
Now, without any spoilers, but, do you have a favorite moment yeah. from this production? Each night, or is it sort of like because it's there's no act break, there's really no time to breathe? Like, it's just when you're done, you're done. You don't have time to be like, ooh, this is coming up and I'm excited. And
yeah, I don't get much like time to kind of like think about what's happening, but I think each night it's different, but it's because there is a lot of space for us to like play around with what we're doing. There was a lot of times, especially between me and Isaac, that we would like, Eva would be like, I kind of want something like this, and we were like, okay, and we'd make something up, and he's like, yes, and we're like, great.
That's cool.
Like, I
That's
like so that cool. Or he would be like, I like this part but not that part, let's do something else. And then so when we would do it in the show, it'd be a little different each night, especially because, as I said, I'm type A. So like in my brain, it's got to be the same. But Isaac is so spontaneous and like just so good at like ripping through my like analytic logistical brain that like it made it fun. And I think there has been like talk about our chemistry, which I appreciate so much, because we did not have a chemistry read or anything. Wow. So we were just kind of hoping that we'd like each other, that things would go well. And it did. But like, I feel like the reason that a lot of people see like this like spontaneous young love is because it really is. Like we are doing some of the things just like how we're doing it that night for fun. And I enjoy that and I appreciate it. It just makes it real.
Oh, that's so cool. We love him. We've been DMing with him on Instagram about him coming to do an episode of the pod soon. So, but anyways, I also read that, not read, oh my God, I'm all over the place. We'll edit that out.
No, we won't.
I love that you guys are like age appropriate as well, because it probably does really feel like a raw and organic young love.
Yeah, it does. And I feel like just the cast in general, like our youngest is 17.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so like, and we had like somebody graduated from high school. We did a whole thing where we like wrote up a diploma and got a cap and gown and did the whole thing on stage for them. But,
cute.
You know, it was really nice to do the age appropriate things. Like we're supposed to be playing high schoolers. Like, most people are, you know, not that far away from mm-hmm. it. And that just made the energy really exciting every night. I don't think that, I don't know. I just think it's different. Mm-hmm. I think we get to like play a lot. We play around a lot. There's a lot, like if people ask me about like laughing sometime, like I am genuinely laughing. Like somebody made me laugh. And like that was not scripted. It is not planned. Like, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Just I think can change the mood and make it really exciting.
Oh, I love it. I have to stop talking about West Side Story now because I'm so sad I didn't get a chance to see it. It's gonna be so long. I feel like I'm just highly anticipating getting to go see it when Broadway's back, but I love it. Okay, so I do have another question for you. So we like to talk to all of our guests about their Ring of Keys moments. This could be that moment when you had that recognition where you were like singing the arts, acting. I need it. I want it. It's got to be in my life. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment, Shireen?
I did. I did specifically for musical theater, not for the arts in general, because my parents put me into dance class when I was like 3 years old. And so like art was something that I just, it was a part of my life. Even though no one in my family like does any kind of art. So I think my parents just kind of did it as like, you know, cool hobby. Like people start piano lessons or yes. something. They have no idea why or what, but and no one danced in my family. So it's not like my mom was like, yes, I took dance lessons when I was three. Like, no. but she did not. And I like fell in love with ballet. Like it was my whole life. Until I started seeing a few musicals. We would go see the ballet all the time. And then finally, we ventured out into new arts. And I saw Beauty and the Beast, and my mom loves to remind me that I got scared of the Beast. but I was really young, so like I barely remember it. So sometimes when people ask me, I'm like, yeah, I saw, which are the other two shows, Chicago and Rent. I can never always remember that I saw the Disney show, but anyway. and again, two just amazing shows. Like, yes, I did see Rent when I was very young before it went off Broadway. Like I saw the movie and I was obsessed with it. And my family tells me that we went, I was the only child in the audience and everyone looked at my parents like they were absolutely insane. But I loved it.
Like, I love your parents.
I'm pretty sure I still have, you know, I still have like the program book somewhere. Like because I was just obsessed with the movie that I was like, I have to see this. And like right before it closed, my dad got some tickets. But then the real moment that I realized I wanted to do it was when I saw The Lion King, which was after those three. Obviously just great shows, but it's adults, like they were adults, and it was the same thing as the ballet where like it's gonna take a long time to be in some form a part of the arts, and especially something like Chicago, they're dancing. So to me, I was like, I could just keep dancing and at some point I'll do something similar. Right. But I saw The Lion King and they have, you know, young Simba and young Nala, and they left and told my mom like, that's what I want to do. I want to play that role. And my mom was like, cool, if you figure out how to do that, I will take you wherever you want to go. I'm like, great. So being me, I like went on the DisneyChannel.com website, found Disney Theatrics, and like found their audition button. I'm like, this is it. I'm like, this has got to be the way. So I would check it like every week, multiple times a week, and just keep trying to find an audition. And an ECC call came up and I was like, Mom, this is it. And my mom's like, did some research. He's like, no, not yet. You can't go to this. I'm like, but why? So I'm like, eight
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so I'm like, I have to go. And then a few months later, an open call for kids came up and I was like, here it is. Okay. I was like, I have to go. My mom's like, okay. I'd never had a singing lesson, nothing. Like we don't have like any connections to Broadway in the family, not theater, anything, nothing. So, and I had dance class that day, which I was dancing like 3 or 4 times a week, like all day.
Wow.
So I would dance at Alvin Ailey, and then we also have a dance studio here in the town that I live in. So I would dance at both studios just because I was so obsessed with dance. And my dad went out the night before and stood online overnight.
Aww.
And so I could like sleep at home. And then we drove in to the city, to the Apollo Theater. I was number like 23. So that's how early I was like, wow. Okay. We did this.
Yeah.
And I went up and they had me sing and asked me to stay back. And then my mom says that they called out my number and she thought I got hurt. She truly, and she's told me this, and my parents are incredibly supportive, so I know that this comes with no malice, but my mom said like, we took you there so you would understand like that sometimes you get rejected, mm-hmm. and sometimes like it's not easy, but like we wanted you to have an experience of like auditioning for something. I got a call back, so my mom was like, so now what do I do with her? And like, found me a voice teacher, and you know, and like a year later it happened. But yeah, that's the story of like how I ended up transitioning into it. But it was seeing The Lion King that I finally realized like it was possible. It's also something specifically with like this time mm-hmm. and the movement that's been coming up. Like people have asked me like what my experience in theater has been. And like I have had this unicorn unique experience of like my first Broadway show was a show that's predominantly people of color. Mm-hmm. So to me, I was like, it's easy. Like it's, there are things made mm-hmm. for me, like right here, like look.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously you grow up and things change, but like even seeing The Lion King kind of did that for me. Like it got me to a place of like, oh, I can do yeah. this thing. That like my age and looks like me, I got this. Which of course, like now I'm an adult and I'm like, that's not exactly how life works, but at 8 years old, that was how it worked for me. So yeah, The Lion King, seeing it was
I love that.
My moment that I was like, I gotta do it.
I love that. Disney is like one of the more common ring of keys for a lot of people. Like I would say like, you know, like the movies and everything like that, even like bring people in. I do have a question. Was any of your young Simbas, are they still working? Like I love hearing about like the young kids that then grow up to keep doing it. We have a special guest on the pod.
Her name is Mimi, and she barks at every living creature.
Mimi Marquez.
Yes. And we almost named my other dog that I just got, Roger. Oh, but we went with Thor.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, cute.
Wait, are you a big Marvel fan?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm gonna answer that other question you had.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we do. Marquise Rodriguez was with me and he was in When They See Us.
Oh my gosh.
And then my other young Simba, Alfonso, I believe he's working on a Netflix thing coming out soon. I've been like seeing that pop up on my Facebook. I'm like, okay. but yeah, every group of us kind of does something different. I know that there's like one Simba who works in like politics in Maryland.
Work.
Like people just like go for theater or like go and do so many other things. It's insane.
I love it.
It's really, really cool to see. But Marvel, I'm obsessed. I'm absolutely obsessed. I did the entire, like all the mm-hmm. movies, but I did them in chronological order, not of how they came out, but how they should go.
I love that. Oh,
that was really cool. So it starts with Captain Marvel, which feels like it should be wrong, but it isn't. It's actually the first one.
Yes.
So yeah, I found a full order and did all of them. It took me a few weeks because like I would watch them and then just kind of like take some mm-hmm. time. But no, that is something that like I want. It's on my bucket list, is to like be in a Marvel movie.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Like, but I was sitting there and I was like, how in the world do they do these things? How in the world do these fighting sequence with these like weird alien large things happen? Please let me know. Please like invite me and let me be a part of one. Great. Love it.
I love that you manifest it for yourself. I love that. There's so many more coming down the line too that like you'll have your time.
It'll come.
We love the Marvel movies. My favorite one is Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Oh, yes.
It's so good. I think I like it because it's like there's not a lot of special effects. It's really kind of a grounded, you know, I don't know. It just feels great. And I love Chris Evans. Scarlett Johansson, she really delivers in each role, in each movie consistently. She does.
Saw Marriage Story yes. and just like died. I'm like, and like on the edge of my seat for Black Widow. Cause also like Black Widow just kind of comes in,
right?
Which is amazing. But I'm like, I want to know more about mm-hmm. her. Like, great, yeah. Like, show me Captain America, show me Iron Man, like, give me all this stuff. But, like, Black Widow, like, just so selfless, but also, like, such a badass. Like, I want to know more.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy to me that movie has, like, it should have been out by now. And, like, people have seen it. It's just sitting there. Like, I do hope it, if they don't do the theaters, like, we were talking about this with our friend Nick. Like, we think it's going to be, like, the Disney Plus pay $30, like, Mulan, like they're doing with Mulan. Mm-hmm. Which mm-hmm. I want to see it in theaters, but like, who knows? Like, what things are going to be like. Although theaters, we're in Ohio, and theaters are reopening, like, next week. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think it was, like, by, I want to say mid-September, they wanted them all open or something like that. They're looking. They have a calendar as to, like, how they're opening up the theaters. I'm interested to see. And, like, I told my mom the best day to go is, like, that first day. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That first movie, like, just let's go see something and then go home.
Exactly. We'll have to, like, report back and see how our experience is and everything, because I miss that. I miss, like, that experience. And I'm a two screen viewer always. Like, I always have my phone with me. Like, I would love to, like, not, I can't just bring myself to peep it away, but at the movies or, like, the theater, you have to.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Wait, which Marvel film do you feel like is your favorite doing this chronological binge? Did you come away with, like, a top one or two?
I did. I came away with, like, Endgame will always be one of my just all-time favorites because it just, like, destroys you. Like, it, truly, Iron Man. Yeah. I'm sorry. If anybody has never seen Endgame, I'm just not going to talk. But, like,
I know.
Just, like, crying, sobbing, okay? And then yeah. Iron Man 2, surprisingly, you would feel, like, so random. But, like, it just human, like, it made him such a human. And it just, I loved being able to see that. Because, you know, you think Iron Man's really cool and like, the whole story's interesting, and obviously with Pepper, and, like, that's yes. cute, but, like, woo, just Iron Man 2 makes you, like, I don't know, I like a good heartfelt Marvel movie, because they're, again, I'm all about humanizing people, because we're all humans, we're people, and, like, superheroes are also people.
That's right.
Yes.
You know? I mean, Iron Man 2, is the introduction of Black Widow, right? Oh my God, I need to give that one a rewatch. Like, I've seen so many of them 2 or 3 times, but those early years, and I've also never seen The Incredible Hulk. That's the only one.
Yeah.
I know. And I call myself, like, a true fan, like, troubling. And you know Natalie Portman is coming back to play a female Thor in Love and Thunder.
Oh, yes. Yes. I saw that. And
it's going to be good.
I just.
I know. I know. I'm thrilled that you named your dog Thor. That is hilarious. Wait, I do want to ask you, I know that people have been talking to you a lot about how you were a senior at Juilliard while doing West Side Story. And I can't help but feel the parallels between you and Audra McDonald, like these young yeah. Juilliard sopranos who then, like, bust out onto the scene. Have you seen her perform live before?
Absolutely. Yes. It has been an honor and a privilege. I saw her in her own concert, which made me, like, sob and laugh and all the things. And I think that I said, you know, my Ring of Keys moment was, like, seeing The Lion King. That was, like, I have to do the arts. Seeing Audra perform live was, like, that's what I want to do with my career at the end of the day. Like when you pinpoint what's your, like, niche, what's your wheelhouse. I was like, that. Which really, her wheelhouse is like, I could do anything.
Truly. Yeah.
By myself. And I was like, I like that right there. So yeah, I once I saw that concert, like, I had known of Audra, obviously, everyone knows, but, like, when I had seen her live in that concert, I was like, this is it. First of all, she's my idol. Second of all, like, I just want to be her. So yeah. Then I saw her do Lady Day, and I was like, she literally can do anything and everything. Like, please be my mother. I've always told my mom, like, I love you to death, but if anyone else could be my mom, and only Audra, like, just my mom and Audra. Those are the only two people I'd want to be my mother. Anyway.
That's so cute.
And I truly, like, in my cover photos on Facebook, like, I was scrolling through them, and I have one of me next to Audra, because I totally staged her.
Of course, you have to.
Got her to sign my Lady Day, you know, poster, and totally told her, like, you are my idol, and then walked away crying. So, yeah. As you guys said, like, fan first. Like, I am a fan
exactly.
first.
It keeps you from becoming jaded, yeah. you know, like, over everything that you experience. Like, the love of it all is at the heart of it. Mm-hmm. Connor, do you want to move in? Should we move into Dose of Drama, or was there anything you wanted to touch on before?
We should, but first I want to ask Shireen, you said you have a new love in your life, a new love interest. Did you meet pre-pandemic?
We didn't.
No. Wow.
Okay, so what happened was the common thing that happened with quarantine was like every guy you'd ever spoken to was like, hey, I'm thinking about you. How you been? What you been up to? You know, you want to hang out like after pandemic's over? And it was like, and I was getting those like on the daily. I'm not talking about weekly. Like I was getting those from different people every single day. And I was like, what in the world? Like every man was like, shoot your shot. So then there was like, and then I started flirting with one person and we were talking for a while and all these people are talking to me. I'm like, I have no idea what is happening. And then, you know, a month goes by and they get bored. And I was like, what is this? I was like, absolutely not. I was like, I deserve more than this right here. All of this foolishness is coming out. So they all basically disappear. And I was like, laying in my bed, talking to my mom. If y'all can't tell, I talked to my mom a lot.
We love that.
And I was like, I'm starting a Bumble. And she was like, are you kidding? I was like, no, I'm going to get on Bumble. And, you know, swipe in, started talking to people. I'm also really bad at talking. So they have the whole like pre-suggested things. And honestly, I would just like click those and whoever answered, I was like, I like that.
Oh,
but I had
cute.
A rule because like, I haven't dated since I've been in Westside. And so I had a rule of like, not telling anybody what I do, not handing anybody my phone number. I'm just talking to people for fun. Like I'm not even trying to date, just like meet new friends. And one of the first guys I talked to was like really sweet. And then he was like, so what do you want to do now? I was like, well, I'd suggest we go get coffee, but like, you know, we're in a pandemic. And he was like, what do you want to do, a virtual coffee date? And I full on ghosted him. And I was like, nope, I'm not giving you my phone number. So I kept going for like a whole month, maybe, talking to other people, all this foolishness, you know, people being foolish. I was getting some wild things, okay?
I can imagine.
The usual dating pool of online dating. And I was like, I'm going to delete this soon. And that guy came back and he's like, hey, how you been? And I answered him and I had given my, like, you know, broke down finally, as I said, hit my threshold, give out my number to somebody. So I did that already. And he was like, do you want to keep talking? Like, you want to text? I gave him my phone number. And now I've been like seeing him for about 3 months.
Oh my goodness.
And even yesterday, he was like, you made me chase you. I was like, no, I didn't. And then he was like, yeah, you did. I was like, yeah, I did. But no, he has been like, truly the things that you see in like a romance movie.
Gosh.
That has been my life recently. And I shook it. Okay, let me tell you. Any friend who has talked to me since I met this guy, I'm like, let me tell you the things that he does and says. Because also he's somebody who says things and then like follows through into action. And I just like, I feel it in my soul.
You deserve that.
I've been happy and like also truly was so against online dating and like deleted Bumble after like I started seeing him for a few weeks.
That's
not gonna lie.
Oh my God. How cute.
Yeah.
You're beaming, you're glowing.
I'm very happy about it. I really am because he's a good guy and you know, you get those all the things that all the people want, those good morning text messages, those like you're very important to me text messages, those, you know, just like kind, like just a kind soul, like I'm having a bad day and he'll be like, let's just hang out and talk, like I'm here. I'm like, yes, you are. You are here for me.
I love that so,
so
much.
Yeah. I could talk about it for hours. I've been so happy about it.
Oh my God. Wait, I have to ask, when he found out that you're the star of a Broadway show, was he shook?
So I gave him my phone number and he's like texting me and he's getting close to going to bed because he full on has a bedtime of like 9-10 o'clock, like old man bedtime. which I just know and I just tell him. He tried to like FaceTime me at 9 o'clock the other day and I was like, are you going to be awake? He's like, yeah. We got on FaceTime for 15 minutes. And he was like, you're right. I'm tired. Aww. I was like, yep, go to bed. We'll FaceTime earlier another day. And he was getting ready to go to sleep. And he's like, I just have to ask you a question. And he sent me a screenshot of this portion of a New York Post interview that I did. That was like, you know, I'm just too busy for dating. Like, I'm not dating. Like, I don't want to date. And he was like, I don't know how I feel about this. Because, you know, we're going to date. Right. And I was like, well, you know, like, that was when I was working, all this stuff. So he Googled me. And I was like, no more Google. It was like, uh-uh. He's like, it's very easy to find you. I'm like, I know. No more.
Yeah.
We're not. He's like, you can look me up. I'm like, okay, fine. And I Googled for sure.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like anyone should. But no, once we passed that Google time, it was good. But actually he doesn't do anything in the arts, but he's like so supportive of
it. I love that.
And we'll just listen and he's always like, I know you're going to get it. He's like, you're, I told him, when we first met that, like, obviously I want to be an EGOT, mm-hmm. like who doesn't? Right.
Yeah.
And he was like, watch, you're going to do that by like 25. And he was like, can I be your arm candy? I was like, yeah, absolutely.
But he is a dream guy. Like,
I'm still shook. Like, trust me, if he changes, watch, like, I'm going to 3 days later, come back to you and be like, no, we're not together anymore. I've been so scared to tell people because I feel like that always happens to me. I'm like with someone and 2 days later I'm like, no, actually it just didn't work out. Like a few months have passed so far, so I feel like
if you're past the 3 month hump, like things are in a good place. And also in the time of a pandemic, like a pandemic Lovato as we call it, but you can definitely survive like integrating yourself back in each other's lives. Like, I think that that's so cool. And, you know, I know from personal experience, like my boyfriend also would always give me the too good to be true movie lines. And I think there are some people who don't even realize that they're saying movie lines because they aren't in that world. But like Shireen, you and I, you know, like we're like, we watch the Netflix, we know the rom-coms, like, and they don't realize that they're like canned lines. But if it's genuine now, like they're not going to work that hard forever. It's real. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And this is the thing that like, I was like, this is it. Cause he was living in the city, and then moved back home for a few months just to like, you know, sort out stuff just like the rest of us.
Yep.
And so we were hanging out one day and he's like, you want to watch A Walk to Remember? He like knows that's my favorite movie. Like voluntarily was like, do you want, and I was like, yes. And he watched the whole movie without bothering me, nothing. Like, held me while I cried. And I was like, this is it. I was like, you know, it wasn't even just the, like, obviously the good lines of, like, how much he cares and how important, you know, it makes you feel good. But it wasn't even just that. He, like, put it into action and was like, I'll watch your favorite movie with you. And like never watched the movie before and still was willing to watch it. I love that. This is it.
He's crazy about you.
I'm crazy about him.
This is so amazing and unexpected to hear. Like Connor, literally beforehand, Connor was like, people usually don't talk about their love life.
Literally. Well, that kind of segues into our final segment. As we're closing up here, we like to end on a dose of drama, which is where we share, you know, the drama in our hearts, whether it's a piece of content we're consuming, maybe it's something going on in our personal lives. Oh my God, Shireen's cute, cute, cute dog is now in view.
This is Thor. Mimi's still barking, but at least if Thor doesn't egg her on, we can get
Is Thor a golden doodle?
Hopefully some quiet time. Yeah, he is. He's a mini golden doodle. Oh my god,
we want one so bad.
I want a golden doodle, and I already chose a name, which is probably psycho of me, but I'll save it for another day.
For the Insta reveal.
Anyway, so for the Insta reveal that I'm planning out for all these years ahead of time. But yeah, so we like to end on a dose of drama. I'm going to start because this conversation we're having is so funny because literally I was thinking about this all weekend and my dose of drama is that all of the men who came back into my life once COVID hit, they've all disappeared. All of my former lovers are gone. I am an open
I'm an open or a blank page in an open book. So, you know, the DMs are open, boys. Come on. I'm like, I'm ready. What, maybe. We'll see. But here we go. This is it. I'm ready for, I want what Shireen has. Maybe. Maybe. Anyway, Dylan or Shireen, do you guys have a dose of drama today?
I'll go first. It's a total like 360 or 180 or whatever the direction is, we go the other way. I am a Drag Race super fan, and we sadly had a loss in the community this past week. Iconic season 8 finalist and All-Stars 3 dancing diva Chi-Chi Devane passed away. It was a long struggle. She had an autoimmune disease. It has just been like so sad to see. And it's, my Twitter feed has honestly been painful because I follow so many of the queens, and all that they're saying is just that she was the nicest, kindest, sweetest queen. And Connor and I rewatched season 8 earlier this summer, and on second watch I decided it's like one of my least favorite seasons, but she is the brightest spot of it, and it is so sad to see her go, but I feel lucky that we all got to experience her light while we had her. And you know, I think there's some funds out there to help her family pay for her medical bills and any services, and if you can donate, I'll toss a link out there, and we should pay some respects if we can. Sorry to bring us down with that dose, but it was on my heart.
I mean, that's important. I have seen that, and I don't know. I think it's important, especially to like donate to people, and like medical bills are hard. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they, you know, pretend like healthcare is a luxury out here. So, you know,
right.
I want to help people. My dose of drama. I've been thinking about this. I'm not going to lie. But I already told you about my love.
Yeah.
So
you did.
So we're not going to touch on that one again. And I think my dose of drama, first of all, if we're talking about binging things, I'm binging Umbrella Academy.
Oh, I've heard good things.
Wild. So good. Just so good. I finally like looked at my mom and I was like, here we go. Gotta do it. And like, we have not regretted it at all. But also starting season 5 of Lucifer. So
he's hot.
Oh, woof. Yes. Like,
whew. Should I watch that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, like, if you like supernaturally kind of things, it's pretty cool. But as you said, like, it's grounded because it's not all about like fighting and like flying and all this. They don't have like magic powers like that, but you know, he's Lucifer, so
right.
You know, and it has to come up. but I actually like it, and it has like a little bit of love in it. It's pretty cute. Yeah, I enjoyed it. So that's kind of like my binging kind of thing.
I love it. Connor and I need a new show to watch together. So I've heard good things about Lucifer. My friend Sean loves it, and he said he cried during one of the episodes. So it's like it's also emotional at its heart. So
yes, it's really, really good. And I think that's my like leisure thing. Obviously I've been rhinestoning everything. I've been telling every single human about my rhinestoning. I bought this Pop Troll.
Oh, from
the other day.
Is that from Trolls World Tour? Is that what it's called?
Absolutely. yes. Also, pops like are literally useless. They don't do anything.
Nothing.
But I still saw this and I was like, I must have it. Like I have to.
Connor's a recovering pop addict, so we're gonna support him.
I have a couple pops. I have Tom Holland's Spider-Man from Marvel, and I have Nate Archibald from Gossip Girl. I know. He was like,
I love that.
He's so hot. Oh my god.
Just so good looking. And also I'm like obsessed with Gossip Girl just in general.
Me too.
So yeah, all of those things. That's mostly it. I'm mostly like, you know,
you're keeping busy.
I love it.
Yeah, and taking care of myself and my health and all that fun jazz.
And your puppy.
And taking care of this kid, this dog.
He's adorable.
He's like a newborn baby. He's a very large baby, though.
He's so fluffy. Oh, my God. Well, Shireen, this has been so much fun. I have had such a great morning. We were tired before. Like, you know, we made you get up at an ungodly hour today to do this. But Actually, you get up earlier for the dog care, but for us, it was early. But we had so much fun, and I want everyone to follow you because your Instagram is absolutely gorgeous, and it's just your name, at Shireen Pimentel. Very easy.
Thank you. Trying to make it easy.
I know. And of course, anyone who's new to the pod, Shireen, who's brought in her legions of fans, please give us a chance. Give us a follow at The Drama Podcast. Give me a follow at Dylan McDowell.
And me a follow at Connor McDowell.
All right. And we'll see you next time, Connor.
Drama.